Amen. God bless you. God bless you today. God bless you tomorrow. And God bless you every day of your life. Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to have a good time in the Word of God this morning. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open them up to a very strange psalm this time. Psalm 49. Psalms 49. So welcome everybody to Blessed Hope Bible Church. And it is our desire here at Blessed Hope Bible Church to learn about Jesus. Amen. To learn to love Jesus, and of course, love one another. To lean on Jesus, and some of us, but we need to learn how to lean on Jesus, right? To live for Jesus, and to lead people to Jesus, and we do that all based on the Word of God. Amen. I don't know about you, I love the Word of God. It's not the word of man, it's the word of God. Amen. Now, our series is Lessons from the Wisdom Psalms. That's what our series is, Lessons from the Wisdom Psalms. And here's today's title. You see it up there? Y'all see that up there? Let's see. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Don't live for riches alone. Don't live for riches alone. Let me say it one more time. Don't live for riches alone. And let me share something with you, Blessed Hope Bible Church. There's nothing wrong, and there's nothing sinful. Y'all hear me? With being rich. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, you don't have to worry about that, Brother Smith. I ain't rich. But there's nothing wrong with having the things that you have. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to feel guilty about living in a nice house or driving a nice car or wearing some nice clothes. I know a lot of us do. I used to think that having all that stuff was sinful. I admit to you. I used to think that being a Christian means you have to be poor. You know, wear hand-me-down clothes and drive hoopties, because I thought that that made you feel spiritual. I really did. I really believe that. And then I've learned, as I continued to learn and from the Word of God, I found out that God really does want you. He really does want you to enjoy the life that He has given you. Yes, He does. But I want you to warn. But I want to warn you about something. I want to warn us all about something. I want you to enjoy a life. I want you to be blessed. I want God to bless you. But we need to learn this. It is futile. It is vain to live only for the things of this life. That's futile. If all you are doing is living to make a buck, if that's all you do is live to make money, what kind of life is that? All right? And that means everything. A lot of us, we're trying to get money, we're trying to get high positions, we're trying to be big and bad, you know, and all that. And especially when death is coming, and so is eternity. You know, Jesus warned us about that. Jesus warned us about that. Y'all remember the parable of the rich fool that Jesus told? It's in the book of Luke, chapter 12. And what Jesus said before he gave that parable, here's what he said. He said to, because they brought some boys came to Jesus and they told Jesus, Lord Jesus, they said, tell my brother to give me what belongs to me. And Jesus responded by saying, man, who made me an arbitrator between y'all? And then he's going to give a parable, but Jesus said this, and these are some wise words that come from Jesus. He said, take heed. Beware of covetousness. Y'all know what covetousness is? Pure D, greed. Beware of being greedy. So listen to what Jesus said. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Your life is not about your house or your job or the car that you drive or the clothes that you wear and where you bought the clothes that you wear. Your life does not consist of the stuff you got. And I know most of us, we got a lot of stuff. I know I do. I got stuff I need to get rid of. Here's what God wants us to learn today. All right. Here's what God wants us to learn this morning by the grace of God. Our focus, your focus, my focus in life should not be on getting things. And mind you, it's not bad to have things, but that should not be your focus. Your focus, my focus, should not be on getting things, but on a life of eternity with God. That should be your focus, is a life of eternity with God, not on the stuff that you can collect in this world. Now Psalms 49 is going to teach us this. All right? Psalms 49. How many of you have read Psalms 49 before? Put your hands up. You read Psalms 49 before? We're going to talk about Psalms 49. Now, Psalms 49 is what we call a wisdom psalm. Is a wisdom psalm. And wisdom psalms, they're not psalms that make prayers to God. So in a wisdom psalm, the psalmist is not praying. What the psalmist is doing is that he is teaching us something. He's giving us a lesson. And so in Psalms 49, the psalmist, and notice the psalmists here are the sons of Korah. You know who the sons of Korah are, y'all? The sons of Korah, their ancestor was named Korah. And Korah didn't like the leadership of Moses. And he and some of his boys thought they should be priests and they should be in some kind of leadership. And Moses, God had Moses put out a test to prove that he was the man called by God. And you know what happened to Korah? The ground opened up and swallowed him and his entire family. They swallowed him up. But it didn't kill all of his kids. Some of his kids survived. And these kids that survived, their ancestors began, they were very devoted men of God, and they led Israel to proper worship of God. Let me just say something, by the way, about the Koranites and how that applies to us. Just because your mama is a heathen don't mean you have to be one. Y'all know, just because your daddy don't love Jesus don't mean you don't have to love Jesus. All right, the children do not have to repeat the sins of their fathers and their forefathers. You can recognize my daddy don't love Jesus, but I do, and you can start a trend where your family, starting with you, begins to live for the Lord, and the Lord can use you to do spectacular things for him. Now, these sons of Korah, they're going to teach us something in Psalms 49 here, and they're going to teach us about not living for stuff, but paying attention to eternity. And so they're going to, this psalm has three sections to it. Do you see it up there? First, we're going to talk about the universal call. Then their message goes to the unique counsel. Then thirdly, they're going to come up with an undeniable conclusion. And together, these three sections of Psalms 49 are going to teach us that our focus should not be on getting things. And that needs to be taught in America because we hard-headed. Our focus should be on life, a life of eternity with God. So let's start with what they're teaching this lesson. Let's start this lesson. They start with the universal call. You know, listen to our text. Listen to verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Psalms 49. Listen to, as I read the passage to you, listen to what it says. Hear this, all people. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together, all y'all. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp. And so what are you sons of Korah, what are you getting at? First of all, I have a universal invitation. Now, you know, there are some messages that everybody should hear. There are some messages that everybody should hear. For example, the gospel message. The gospel message is a message that everybody should hear. Somebody say amen. Amen. That message is for everybody, everywhere on the planet. But there are some common sense wisdom that everybody should take notice of. Whether you are saved or unsaved, there's some common sense wisdom. So what the sons of Korah do is they give an invitation to everybody on the planet, everybody, rich, poor, saved, and unsaved. All y'all listen to this message. And then he gives the intention. So you have the invitation. Then the sons of Korah, they give us their intention. They tell us why I want you to listen up. And here's the point. The goal of this message is to give you some practical wisdom. Give you some sense. Put something up here in this noggin of yours so that you can live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God instead of living a life that is foolish and ends up being vain and futile. You know, God wants you to live an abundant life. Yeah, you do. Yes, he does. He wants you to live wisely. Because when you live wisely, he'll bless you. Amen? But if you want to be stupid, and I know most of us say, I don't want to be stupid, but we act stupid anyway, don't we? If you want to be stupid, God will let you. Because that's one way he'll teach you. How many of you have learned some lessons by doing things you shouldn't have done? Put your hands up. Uh-huh. How many of you seniors have tried to warn young people? I did that. Don't do that. Have y'all done that? Have they listened to you? No, they didn't listen to you. Don't worry. Don't worry. They'll learn from the school of hard knocks. The sons of Korah are trying to get you to escape the school of hard knocks. Some of you will listen and most of you won't. Amen. So that's the universal call. Now they're going to give us some counsel. All right, the sons of Korah, let me talk to y'all for a minute. Let me give you some counsel. First of all, let me ask a question with this counsel. Let me ask a question, verse 5. He says, why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? So the sons of Korah, they're looking at life the way everybody in here looks at. You know what you're looking at? Things happen to you. Things happen. Amen? Stuff happens. In fact, probably something happened to you yesterday. And the day before that, things happen. And when things happen, we get all worried and all festered and all stressed out and all fearful. And how many of you have somebody messing with you? Anybody got anybody messing with you? Messing with you on the job? Messing with you in the neighborhood? Somebody shook their head. Now, anybody messing with me? You're probably saying they better not mess with me. Basically, what the psalmist is saying, why should I worry or become fearful or stressed out, frustrated, and depressed when I come under attack by folk? Why should I get stressed out? And you know what, y'all, listen to me. Part of living this life on this earth, and tell me if I'm lying, part of living this earthly life, no matter how well off you think you are, because some of you are well off, no matter how well off, part of living in this life is enduring some kind of attack from evil people. I mean, sooner or later, somebody's going to bother you. Sooner or later, somebody's going to mess with you. That's part of life. Get used to it. But you know what? Wisdom will help you deal with it. Wisdom from God will help you deal with. So now he's going to look at the, he asked a question, right? He asked a question, now let me give y'all some answers. And he's going to give you a first answer in verses 6 to 9. In fact, some of this makes sense. He's going to give you the first answer in verses 6 through 9. Those who trust in their wealth and who are messing with me, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, how much money do you make? You know how much money I make? You know how much money I got in my savings account? Y'all know how much money I got in my 401k? You know how much money I earn from my stocks and bonds? You know what I got in my portfolio? I got more money than you got. I'm better off than y'all. Has anybody bragged to you like that? Tell me something. Nobody. You know, most folks don't want to tell nobody what they got unless they got something, right? You don't want to tell nobody what you got unless you got something. So what do I do? You know, they can brag, but you know what? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of riches, let me tell you something. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. What are you trying to say? You can have a lot of money, but you can't save nobody's life with it. You cannot buy somebody an extra day of life. And so those who are bothering you, lesson number one, they ain't gonna be around long. They just don't realize that life or wealth has limitations to it. And that is, you know, some of you, I know some of you say, no, brothers, because I can buy me a few extra days of life. You know why? And I say, why is that? It's because I got insurance. I got health insurance. I got, you know, life insurance don't buy you an extra day of life, right? All life insurance does is it leaves money to your relative. It don't help you none. It just leaves money for your relative. So you can brag about it. And even if you have health insurance and you can afford the best hospital and the best doctors, amen? That health insurance cannot buy you in any way, form, or fashion an extra week, month, year of life. That's all in God's hands. Y'all do know that, right? That's in God's hands. So it can't purchase what it can't. Your wealth cannot purchase redemption. Your wealth does not help you understand that a man's life is costly. It's so costly that it costs more than everything everybody's got put together. One life costs more than everything everybody's got put together. That's how costly your life is. Here's the second answer. Life has termination. You see, wealth has limitations. Life has termination. Look at verse 10. For he sees, now you see this too. Y'all see this, don't you? He sees wise men die, likewise the fool. Now check it out. No matter how wise you are, you gonna die. And no matter how stupid somebody else is, he gonna die. So what advantage? What's the advantage? Somebody asked, what's the advantage? Almost like there's no advantage whatsoever. The man that loves God, he's gonna die. And the man that don't love God, he's gonna die. And here's the kick in the teeth. This is what gets me. And leave their wealth to others. I got news for y'all. Y'all gonna leave that money to y'all kids. Hey, you kids that are, no, the kids are upstairs. But you young people, your mom and your dad, they leaving the house, the car, the money, they leaving all that to you. In fact, you probably in the will now. Some rich man once said this, you know what? I get scared because my kinfolk, they start standing over me like a hawk. Soon as a little slobber comes down my throat, they start looking and say, when he getting ready to go? Now, some of you are saying, now, Brother Smith, I don't be doing that. You know, I love my mama. I love my daddy. I love my grandparents. I ain't waiting on them to kick the bucket. But let them tell you that you in the wheel. And you be waiting just like everybody else in the world waiting All men die and they leave their wealth to others. And so it almost makes life, it looks like it makes life vain. But see, here's the good news. Here's the sons of Korah said, look, I gave you a question and I gave you a twofold answer. But let me give you the punchline here that shows what I'm trying to teach you. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish. Those who are foolish, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. And of their prosperity, who approve of their saying. Listen, they're like sheep. They are laid in the grave. You see, if you don't understand that life is not about getting money and getting stuff, if that's all you understand, you're soon going to figure out that life is nothing but vanity and futility, and the worst thing that can happen to you is you're gonna work hard. Don't y'all work hard? How many of y'all work hard on the job? Raise your hand. You work hard for the money. You didn't work 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You amass all of that stuff that you got. Then you leave it all to your kids who didn't work an hour for that stuff, and they're just going to say, thank you very much, you know, for it, and spend it for you. And they're going to spend it quick, too. So you soon going to find out, I am working 80 hours a week. I am not enjoying the stuff that I bought or that I'm not enjoying life. My kids didn't work, and they're going to get it all. And they're going to enjoy it for me. Look, my dad told me, don't y'all touch that. I'm going to come back from the grave. I'm going to come back from the grave and haunt y'all. He was teasing, you know. He's like, what you doing with that money? You know. Well, here's the good news. That's the delusion of the foolish. The delusion is your life is just vain. But listen to this. This is the wonderful news. Verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Wait a minute. Didn't he just say that everybody dies? Didn't he just say that the wise man dies? Didn't he say that the fool dies? Didn't he say that the senseless or stupid person dies? Didn't he say everybody dies? Everybody dies. So, you know, I know what some of you are thinking. I know what you're thinking. Oh, no, Brother Smith. I'm praying that the rapture comes before I die. I'm praying that Jesus comes and we get raptured. But you know what? Jesus may not come for another 50, 60, 70 years for all you know. Now, yeah, he could come today. But don't be trying to live your life like you ain't going to die. That is a certainty. And you're going to leave all your stuff. To your kids, by the way, you're going to leave all the stuff here when you rapture, too. Y'all do know that, right? And when you get raptured, you're not taking your car with you. I just bought this car. You're not taking your house with you. You don't care. You don't mind, do you? Look, the sons of Korah saying, look, God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall, and he's going to receive me unto himself. Look, I know I got to go through life, and I know I got to work to make money. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try to enjoy what I have. Yes, I'm going to die, but I have hope. I am not living in vain. I'm not living a futile life. I got hope, and because I have hope, I can enjoy the life that God has given me. See, unsaved people, they don't have that. Unsaved people, they're working just like you are. They're going to the store and they're buying all this stuff just like you do, but they don't really have any purpose for their life. And life is futile. That life is vain because we are not put here just to make money. We are not put here just to buy houses. We are put here to live for God and to enjoy eternity with Him. Your focus should be on eternity, not just on getting stuff. Now, look, if you can get a swimming pool, go ahead and get it. and enjoy it too. But don't live for a swimming pool. Figure out that you're going to have eternity with God. And that's the undeniable conclusion that he has. And look what he says as I close down, the undeniable conclusion, verse 16. Do not be afraid when somebody becomes rich, y'all. Now, let me pause for just a moment. Even in the church, there's some of us who are haters. Some of us are haters. Y'all know what I mean? Somebody drives up to church with a new car, and we're going to hate on them. How dare you drive up here with this new car when I got to drive this hoopty? And what in the world are you doing coming up in this church with that new suit and with that new outfit? Who in the world do you think you are? You just trying to get attention. And then we hate on people because they have nice things in their life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Listen, don't hate. In fact, praise God for them. Praise God. I'm glad you were able to get that new car. I'm glad you were able to get a new house. I'm glad you got that raise. I'm glad you got, we gotta learn to be happy for one another. Be happy for one another. Don't be mad, don't hate. Why should I be afraid? Or why should I be intimidated? Or why should I get mad? Because you got blessed in some way, form, or fashion. Praise God for them. Because they can't take it with them. They can't take it with them. That's what the sons of Korah said. They get rich, but you know what? None of them, look at verse 17. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. And even if Jesus comes and you get raptured, you know, with that mighty trumpet sound, and you get raptured with Jesus, you ain't taking his clothes with you. Now I got several suits at home. They all staying here. If I go and the Lord leaves you here, y'all do me a favor, okay? You go to my house, get my clothes. You're gonna have to break in because I ain't giving you the key. I'm with Jesus. Go to my house, get all my suits, and take them to the Goodwill. All of the unsaved can have every last one of them. Get my flat screen TV. You can keep it if you want, or you can sell it to the Goodwill. All right, you can have my stove, my dishwasher, my refrigerator, my house, my car. Y'all can have it all. And for any teenagers in here, I know it's cheap, but I got a PS3. You know, I got a PS3. You can have that. You can have that too. You can have it all. Because I'm not taking that PS3 with me to heaven. The PS3 is staying here. All right, you know what's so funny about folk, y'all? You know what's so funny about people? Now, when we bury our loved ones, don't we bury them with diamonds and stuff like that? Somebody shaking their heads, no, I don't. I don't bury them, but no, I don't. Some of us do, you know. I did my mother. When my mother passed, you know, she had some rings that we let her keep in the casket. You know, they used to do that in ancient times too. But in the ancient days, they put all that gold and stuff in the casket. And we just dug, all the thieves did was dig them up just to get that gold and silver. We do it too. We didn't dug up every pharaoh that we can think of and got all their stuff. Y'all supposed to be enjoying that stuff in the afterlife. Y'all ain't enjoying nothing. We are looking at in museums and stuff like that, you know. You ain't taking nothing with you. So enjoy your life now. Enjoy what God has given to you, but don't let that be your focus. You know, folk up there don't want to come to church because you're going to stay home and wash your car. You nuts. You're going to stay home and cut your lawn. Or do something in the house. You don't have time for the Lord. You know, what the sons of Korah are saying is, look, focus on spiritual things. Y'all, focus on the Lord. Focus on eternity. God will give you all that stuff, but don't let that be your focus. Now, you guys know this, don't you? So this is my challenge to you. This is my challenge to you. Does your life consist in the abundance of things you got? Is that what your life is all about? It's about how much money you got, how many clothes you got, how many shoes you got in your closet. Is that your life? Your focus should be on something else. And most of all, you know, a lot of people, you know, when the invitation is given to come to Christ, when the invitation is given to Christ, they turn it down because their focus is on what they can get in this life, right? Was that you? Was that you? Every one of you in here, most of you I see around here, some of you, have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you know, as your Savior. Some of you have done that. But there might be one or two in here, you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because you are focused on your job. You're focused on your career. You're focused on your education. You're focused on the stuff that you are working on in this life, and you have put the Lord on the back burner. But you know what? There's no guarantee that you had that career for any time, for any length of time. There's no guarantee that you'll keep that money for any length. Y'all do know that you can make a lot of money and lose it just as quick, right? Y'all do know that. You do know that you can get possession, you can get a lot of stuff, and then a flood or a tornado can come and take it all away. Y'all know that, right? So your life is not based on stuff. Your life is based on living for the Lord. It's based on eternity. And my invitation and my challenge to you is make the Lord number one in your life. And when I say make the Lord number one in your life, I don't mean just talk. I don't mean just go around talking, I love Jesus. I don't mean that. I mean I'm going to worship God with God's people. I mean I'm going to get in God's word with God's people. I mean I'm going to get in prayer with God's people. I mean I'm going to support God's work with my time and my money. I am going to be involved in the work of the Lord. Yes, I'm going to take the kids to Six Flags and I'm going to get on Mr. Freeze. And I'm going to enjoy cotton candy and candy apples with my kids and my relatives. I'm gonna take my wife out to bed and breakfasts and cruises and vacations, and I'm gonna enjoy the life that God has given me, but I'm not gonna make that my life. My life is living for the Lord for eternity. That's what matters. And this is a message to every man, woman, and child on this planet. Now, bless the Hope Bible Church. Some of you have been members of this church for a long time. Amen. And some of you have been Christians for a long time. You have to start asking yourself a new question. How am I contributing to the cause of Christ? How am I contributing to the cause of Christ? Because, see, it is not God's will. I'm talking to Christians now. I'm talking to Christians. It is not God's will for you to come to church and sit in somebody's church or somebody's pew or chair and listen to a sermon. That ain't God's will for you. That's not God's will. God's will for you is to get involved with the total ministry of the church. Yeah, when church is over, I'm going out to eat and I'm going to enjoy time with my wife. But that is not what I'm living for. I'm living to serve the Lord because I got eternity to look forward to. So when I give the invitation, and I'm giving the invitation, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't let stuff get in the way. Don't let a job or a career or business, don't give me none of this. Let me get my business together first before I come to Jesus. Because you might not get a business together, but you will face eternity. You might not get another day of life, but you will face eternity. Do it now. Do it today. Come on up, Brother Roland, Brother Karen. Come on up. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning. You need Jesus as your Savior. I mean it. You need the Lord in your life. You've been running too long and too far and too fast from God. And the reason why you're running because you're really running after the almighty dollar. You're trying to get new stuff. And God is not trying to deny you from having stuff. He's not denying you from having a new car or a new house or a better job. God bless you if you can get that thing. But you're going to face eternity. Why don't you face it with the Lord in your life? Bow your heads, everybody. Close your eyes. Most precious and loving Heavenly Father, we have learned from the sons of Korah, from Psalms 49, that the focus of our life should not be on getting stuff. The focus of our life should be on eternity and living eternity with you. Don't let stuff, don't let careers, don't let the activities of this life interfere with that focus. And Lord, if there's anyone in here that needs Christ, Lord, prick their heart, prick their mind, prick their spirit, prick their soul, and move them to come on forward and say, yes, I have decided to make Jesus my choice. And for the rest of us, Lord, who believe in you, who are Christians, encourage us that going to church is not the only duty that we have as Christians. We're living for eternity, and because we are, we want to be a part of the work of God. We want to be engaged in your kingdom and in making a difference for Christ. Lord, prick our hearts, prick our minds, prick our souls, move us to make a difference for the cause of Christ. We pray humbly in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. 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 God bless you. That was Psalms 49. Psalms 49, everybody. God bless you.